Hello, this is Pastor Galen from Chicago First Church, and welcome to our podcast. Before we hear the message today, I simply want to say that no matter where you're listening from, we're glad that you're here. We hope that the message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. If you live in the Chicago area, maybe this podcast could be your first step to joining us at C1 in person sometime, or in our online community that meets every Sunday at c1naz.org/live. Well, thanks again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message, and more importantly, we pray that you would experience God and that you're encouraged today.
Welcome back for this final service in this series entitled Dangerous Prayers. This has been a Lenten series, and we will cap it off today. We will talk a little bit next week with the gospel choir here about the idea of praying dangerous prayers and asking God to move as only as appropriate through Lent. But let me start out this way today as we get ready to kind of tie this thing together. We are a people in need of direction. I don't know about you, but Siri has really helped my marriage, I think. There were days when Lindy would just get it wrong in the car about where we were supposed to go, and that's not true, of course. I'm actually the guy who will follow the car in front of me because it feels like they're going the same place I am. I don't know if anybody else has got that problem. If you're here and you say, that's not true for me, I've got my act together, I don't need direction, well, the legal department at this particular dry cleaners disagree. We are a people in need of direction. Or how about this curling iron or hair straightener? I don't know which it is, but whichever it is, don't use it on your eyelashes. All right? We are a people in need of direction. I like this one. For best results, machine wash, cold, tumble, dry, low, never iron, designed. For worst results, drag through a puddle behind a car, blow dry and refresh. And then this has got to be probably one of the ones that, this is what math felt like for me. This product can be used to the oil can, the in full fig and edible liquid in an et cetera in sauce goes together with to anticipate the usage. By hand, the screw opens the plastic covers, making it open with a personal status. Put a body on the terrace, right? That was what algebra felt like to me, all right? Those directions are not helpful. We are people in need of direction. And we have been called, if we follow in the footsteps of those who have gone before us, and if we follow in the footsteps of Jesus, to pray some dangerous prayers. We've identified one of those through this series, and we've walked through it slowly. The psalmist said, search me, God, know my heart, test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And that's what I want to talk to you for a few minutes today. If we pray a prayer that follows that pattern and then pray, lead me in the way everlasting, we're acknowledging a couple of things by praying that prayer. Number one, there is one. There is a way. If you don't hear anything else today, hear that. Whether you're watching online, I don't know what the world was like for you when you woke up this morning. I don't know what it was that you were concerned about when you went to bed or that woke you this morning. If you're in the house, undoubtedly just because of the number of people that will be part of online and in person this today, there's going to be somebody who woke up saying, I don't know if there's a way. As we were watching the dedication of Cruz, I couldn't help but think that from now till that child gets to heaven, there will always be a way. There is a way. There's a way over, there's a way through, there's a way around, there's a way to get up. There is a way. And so we pray that prayer. But the second thing that it acknowledges is that there is a way, but I need help finding it. I need help finding it. We cannot be saved from ourselves. If we get to a place where we think we don't need direction, or that we have got it all figured out, we are in a place of potential disaster. I love this from the New Living Translation, this version of Matthew chapter 5, 1-3. One day as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. God blesses those who are poor in spirit and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Those who realize their need for him. There's an exercise that is a It's a good exercise to do if you're looking to plan some things in your life, if you're wanting to go forward, if you're feeling stuck and you'd like to go forward. We just call it from here to there. I'm going to challenge you today at some point in time, if this strikes you, I'm going to challenge you to take out an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper and on one side right here. And then write down, where are you now? Where are you in your state of mind? Are you living in a state of contentment and peace? Is there fear? Is there joy even in the midst of difficulty? Where are you now? What is the status of your relationships? Those apply to the relationships that we have with one another, family and friends, but they also apply to our relationship with Jesus. Where are you now? Where is here? What about the God-given dreams that you have? Those things that God put in your heart to do that have never really went away, and maybe you've been able to act on them, maybe you haven't, but in the process of time, stop and consider, where are you on that journey? How about the fruit of your life? If you look at what you leave behind in conversations that you have, if you look at what a room is like, what a person is like as you move through, where are you? Define the here. And then define the there on the other side. Where do you want to go? Where has God called you to go? What is your God-given destiny? What have you thought about yourself? What's that idea that's been put in your mind? Where do you want your state of mind to be? If you're wrestling or struggling with bitterness or doubt or all of those things, some of which will always impact, we always have to navigate them, but how do you get to a better place? The status of your relationships, what would you like them to be? Of your God-given dreams. We at First Nazarene, we are curious about people. We wonder what God knows about you that you don't know about you yet, that makes you so incredibly important to Him. What is your there? In between those is the land in between. This is the journey that we have to take. You see, what we'd like to do is for God to come get us at here and then beam us or transport us to there. But that's not how this works. There is a journey, there is a way that we have to take if we're going to get to there. And so we can plan from here, we can make lists from here, we can decide every January what we're going to do, and then this happens, right? And before long, we find ourselves right back here. How did I get back here again? Why have I not been able to go forward? A few thoughts. There is a way. There is a way. And that way is through the land in between to your God-given destiny, to what He's called you to be and to become, where He's called you to live. So let's talk a little bit about that. Well, one of the things about the way is that the way is Jesus. The way is not simply a guide or a book or even the Bible simply alone by itself. It is Jesus. The way is a person. Jesus has promised that He would show us the way because He is the way. On the night that He was betrayed, in the conversation that He had, Thomas said to Him, "Lord, we don't know where You're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life." It's an incredible, that's how important you are, that Jesus Himself came to be the way. He is the way. He's how we get. It's this relationship with God that is so critically important, that He would come and He would speak. I have some strange conversations in my head. And when I imagine what it was like for God to try to figure out how He was going to get humanity, or Wangler, from where they were to where they needed to be. And somebody, you know, you could say, we could give Him a book. Well, that's good. We should give Him a book, but Wangler's going to need more than that. We could give Him friends to walk along with Him. Yeah, you can do that, but He's going to need more than that. At some point in time, Jesus just said, "I'll go get Him." He's going to need a guide. He's going to need someone to meet Him there. He's going to need some. So that relationship is critically important, and there is no substitution for it. Jesus is the way. And then there's a few things about the way that you need to know if you're going to start out. The way is a way of holiness. Now, holiness is a church term, and sometimes it can be a little bit confusing, but holiness is the commitment to God, the surrender to God, and the work that He does in our spirit. It is the fruit of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit taking up residency. It's purifying the heart. And it purifies when he sanctifies us and fills us, and then it continues to do that because we are human beings and we need that commitment, the enablement of God to turn us in, to set us apart and say, Lord, I want you to fill me fresh and new. There's lots of places I could go for the way of holiness, because sometimes we have a tendency to think the way is Jesus. We get our ticket punched and then we just kind of wait on the train to come around. No, there's a pathway there. One of the favorite scriptures I have from Isaiah is as he is looking down the corridors of time and saying that things are going to change. He says, and a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go on about it. No lion will be there, nor ravenous beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed of the Lord will walk there, and those who the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. The way of holiness is a way of freedom, and it doesn't make us perfect. It doesn't mean that we never blow it. It doesn't mean that we don't need God's help. It means that we recognize we need all of those things. And God can do something in our spirit. One of our four core values, faith, family, friendship, and the fourth core value is farther along. God wants to take us farther than we can ever imagine. That's the way of everlasting. It is a way of service. Jesus' life was given up for others. If you follow Jesus, I am 100% convinced you will pick up a towel if you're going to follow him. From John chapter 13, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. When he had finished washing their feet, we skipped down a little bit, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. I mean, it's a pinnacle moment. I mean, Jesus is about to go to the cross. This is the Last Supper. And look at what he does. He intentionally says, I need to talk to you about something that's going to be defining of how you live and how you move forward. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. It is a way of service to others. So while you're contemplating the darkness of the land in between, one of the questions is, well, where are you serving? Because that's one of the ways that God helps us to walk. It's how we follow him. By the way, that first moment, the first step with Jesus is to recognize it's Jesus. That second step is to surrender your heart and ask God to purify and sanctify you. I am convinced that if we don't decide to pursue holiness, we'll never take these other steps, because service becomes no fun real quick when it's not recognized. If our motives are to somehow for us, which frankly, a lot of times they are. Have you ever told somebody it's okay, it didn't matter, when it really was not okay and it did matter, right? But God can put us in a way, in a spirit in us that will enable us just to serve. It is a way of service. It is a way of the garden. By garden, I'm referring, of course, to the Garden of Gethsemane. And if I were to phrase this another way, I would say it is a way of surrender to God's will. Not once, not a few times, but daily, saying, God, remember what Jesus said as he prayed. As we approach in a couple of weeks, Good Friday, not my will, but yours. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. This is a way of surrender to the will of God. This is a way of the cross. If you want to navigate that land in between, it is important to remember that the one who calls us and leads us said this to his disciples. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. When you bear the burdens of a loved one, when you get involved in a situation that's messy, but you're there because you love the people in it anyway, when you run toward something that everybody else is running from, let me rephrase that. When you run toward a person that everybody else is running from because you feel like God is just calling you to be there, when you worry sometimes about folks more than they worry about themselves, when your heart is genuinely broken over somebody else's problem, you're picking up your cross to follow Christ. It is the way of the cross, the surrender, the recognition by Jesus that what happens here has things that are going to come out of it that you could never, ever understand or imagine. It is the way of the cross. You still want to go the way? The way is person of Jesus. It is a way of holiness, asking God to cleanse and continue to correct and to bind up in us what's broken. It is a way of recognizing what we're not and following him. It is a way of service. It is the way of the garden. It is the way of the cross. And it is an everlasting way. Jesus told his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, also believe in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me that you also may be where I am." You see, the way only goes so far. And then the one who calls you comes to where you are and leads you home. It is an everlasting way. This language here I read this week is actually marriage language. There's a ton of traditions in Jewish weddings, but one of them essentially has four primary components. And the first component is when the groom will go to the home of the bride and talk to her father. And what is established in that conversation is the dowry. It's what's going to be paid. Then the groom will go back to his home, and he will begin to build a room on to his father's house, because those cultures, they all lived together. You didn't go to another place. They just built on an extra room. And then the day comes when the groom goes to get his bride, and he takes her back home and presents her to his father. What Jesus did is exactly that. Jesus came and the price was established for you. And he paid the price. And the day will come as you follow him that he will take you to be where he is. It is an everlasting way. There are some of you who are watching this online or here in the room that are on the front side of your journey. And it is all in front of you. And you're excited about pursuing. I challenge you to remember the way is a person, the person of Christ. Pursue holiness. It will be that work in your heart that God continually does. It will be a way of service. If you don't know what else to do, serve somebody. It will be a way of surrender in the garden and sacrifice at the cross. But you need to know something. This way has a destination. And there is one who will not forsake. And some of us who are on the backside of this journey, things didn't turn out the way we thought they would. Things didn't happen the way that we hoped they would. And if you can get on the backside of this journey and get discouraged, so I want to give you a testimony. As a minister over these 29 years, the greatest honor of my life has been to walk with people the last few miles of the way, to have the privilege of being there. And I can tell you story after story after story of God's faithfulness. This is my latest one. This is a friend of mine named Gene Hooper. Gene's 27 years older than I am. I met Gene back in the 80s because he was one of my best friends, Steve's dad. Gene was from Kentucky, and it would take you exactly a second to realize he was from Kentucky when he started talking. He was just that. He had a rough life early on. He left Kentucky, went to Detroit, went to work up there, as many did back in the 40s and 50s, and was trying to carve out a life Things weren't going real well. He wound up leaving Detroit and coming and settled in around Danville, Illinois, in Tilton, and there he remarried. It was his second marriage. He remarried, and he had children, and one of those children was my best friend, Steve. And Gene was a musician. He was kind of a honky. He wasn't kind of a honky tonk. He was a honky tonk musician. And when we were in our early 20s, Steve would say, "Hey, my dad's playing at this park or at this whatever." And so we would go, and he always started every concert the same way. He had a Johnny Cash kind of presence and voice, and he would stand up, and the drummer would start doing their thing in the back, like a low, you know, rumble, just boom, 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 and he would smile, and then eventually, when he was ready, and it might be a while, he would say, "I met the man in Montgomery, Alabama. I was waiting on a bus, and he was shining shoes. And I heard him say, 'I'm a shoeshine man, number one in the land. I'm a shoeshine man. Make you shine where you stand. Give me a tip if you can. I'm a shoeshine man.'" Apparently, there are no Tom T. Hall fans in this room. It was so cool. And when he started doing that, we'd go, "Whoa, yeah, 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 right, right." Well, eventually, Steve and I kind of went different directions. He got married, and I got married, and we went to different directions. And I came to faith, and one day I heard that Gene had come to faith. He'd accepted Christ. And so I called him up and I said, "Gene." And he said, "Come on over, Brian." And so I went over and I learned about what the Lord had done for him. He walked into Southside Church of the Nazarene, and that church came around him, and he committed his life to Christ, and he never looked back. He had lost his second wife to Parkinson's, I think, or some kind of a disease like that. He had cared for her, and God began to work in him in extraordinary ways. He began to volunteer. He began to serve. He wanted to tell everybody that he knew about Jesus. As a matter of fact, he went back to Detroit, and I have permission to share this with you. When he came to faith, he said, "I did not do that family that I had in Detroit." He stayed in contact with the kids, but he had essentially left. He goes, "That wasn't right." And he took my friend Steve and he said, "We're going to go to Detroit." And he went to Detroit and he talked to his kids and he apologized to his kids and he said, "Hey, I just want you to know what Jesus has done for me." You want to know what holiness looks like? That's a pretty good picture right there. He began to volunteer at the hospital. He volunteered at the church. Started going on mission trips. And when he went on mission trips, he would take a guitar, which at first I'm thinking, what is honky-tonk gospel going to sound like in Russia? Which is one of the places he went. But he went and he would play and they would have this. I didn't know till later that he took a ton of trips. I didn't know that every time he went, he bought a guitar and he didn't buy junk. He would take it on the trip and he would give it to a worship pastor when he was over there. Then Gene would show up here. The last 9 years, sometimes he would call me once or twice a year and say, "Brian, I'm coming in." I'd say, "Okay," and we'd talk for a few minutes. But sometimes I'd be in the middle of preaching, and he always sat right over there where the Jacobsons are, roughly, and he'd sneak in on me, and I'd be in the middle of expounding on some great spiritual truth, I'm sure. And I would see Gene. And in my head, all I could hear was, "I met the man in Montgomery, Alabama." Right around February 7th, just a month ago, I got a phone call on a Sunday night, and it was Steve, and he said, "Dad's been in the hospital," which I knew. We'd been praying for him, and Brian, he's reached the end of the journey. The doctors are saying there's nothing more they can do, and I'm calling you just to let you know, but also because I got to go talk to my dad. My dad is going into hospice, and he only has one concern. He's not afraid of dying. He's ready to die. He only has one concern. Is him acknowledging the fact that he's going into hospice giving up too soon? Because here's what his son told me. He doesn't want to disappoint God. Steve said, "So what do I tell him?" I give him a few thoughts. And I said, "Steve, is there any chance I could talk to your dad?" He said, "Well, maybe tomorrow." He can only talk for about 45 seconds or a minute. That's all he's got. He had COPD and some mixture of that and COVID. I don't know exactly what it all was. But so about 11 o'clock the next morning, I call a phone number. And the first words I hear are Gene. And Gene's going, "Who is it?" And my buddy Steve says, it's Brian Wangler. And I know the clock's ticking, right? 45 seconds, that's all you're going to get. He said, "Brian, how are you?" How am I? I said, I'm fine. I love you, Gene. He said, I love you too, Brian. We've had some good times together. I said, yes, we have. And then knowing that I only had a few seconds, I said, I'm going to see you again. And he said, oh, I know you are. I'll be waiting. And those were the last words he said to me. Just a few hours later, slipped into a coma. Woke up in the middle of the coma. A couple hours, 2 or 3 hours, they just boom. And he started talking, and they couldn't understand what he was saying. And so Steve said, I was sitting there, and I said, Dad, who are you talking to? And his dad said clearly, the Holy Spirit. Carry on. Just a short time later, he went to heaven. It is an everlasting way. When I look at Gene's life, Gene wasn't perfect. He was just a good man who met a great Savior. I see all of this in his life. God's faithful. If you're facing an uncertain future, if you're worried about the way and you're facing some things in life, it is an everlasting life. You're going to have what you need when you need it. He will meet you there. In the meantime, stay focused. This is the everlasting way. So where are you on the journey? Are you here? Do you feel like that you're going where you want to go, where God wants you to go? Or have you been lied to and made to think that this is the only place there is? No, no, no. The psalmist knew it, and now you do too. There is a way everlasting. If you need to start out with Christ, this is a good prayer to pray right here. This will get you up on that high. If we will submit, say, Lord, search me. Know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. If there's any offensive way in me, forgive me, because I want to follow you on the everlasting way. Have you been distracted off the path? Most of us have at some point. Found yourself going in circles instead of going forward? Search me, God. Know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. Because you know what's smothered all over this pathway? Grace. Grace. None of us make it because we accomplish all of this. We make it because God has accomplished for us his salvation and his grace. Let's pray together. Lord, in the next 2 or 3 minutes as the band plays, I want us to celebrate your way. May we look back and recognize where you've been and what you've done. And may we look forward into sometimes the darkness and sing as only believers can. Call me out. Call me out and help me to walk upon the waters. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for joining us on C1's podcast. If you're interested in your next step in growing your relationship with God, go to c1naz.org and click on Next Steps. There on our website, you can also find our service times and more information about our church. We'd also invite you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll always have the newest episodes. And feel free to share today's podcast with a friend who might need to hear it. Thanks again for joining us, and have a good day.